Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
So, is this on? Okay. We had a miracle. Yesterday was a miracle day. And our daughter has not spoken to us for 4 years. And she wrote an email last week asking us if we wanted to see Lily, our great-granddaughter. And of course we said yes. And she actually, when we got to her house, she let us go into her house and she talked to us like the old days. So healing is beginning. So I just want to encourage you all that God is a God and His Word does not return void. And He is perfect timing. I mean, our timing was 4 years ago, but yesterday was a joyous day, and we were thrilled by it. And God also just wanted me to put it on my heart. So many times we walk in those doors, and we hear the songs and praise the Lord and hear the preacher. We leave the same way we came in, and nothing changes in for the week. And we do that week after week after week. And it's time that we just get off the fence, serve the Lord with all of our heart, love Him with all of our being, and just worship Him like we really mean it.
Amen.
And that's what He wanted me to talk to you about. But I'm so thankful that God is a God that answers prayers.
You know, Steve, when he came up, he was talking about how we need to walk in those doors and expect something. Those expectations can lead to revelation, which then leads to transformation. And that's the thing I keep thinking over and over. That expectation of what the Holy Spirit's gonna do for you. That opening up just allows for revelation to happen in your life, which then changes everything. It brings a transformation in you that's like nothing that anybody can do for you. It's nothing you can even do for yourself, but it's something that He has for you. It's something only He can do. But we have to come willing to press in, expecting for something to change, expecting for something to happen, knowing that if we just go after Him with that expectation, that revelation will take place, that it will happen for us. Because this world needs transformation. It doesn't just need us to be regular, everyday people existing in everyday world. It needs us to be who God created us to be. It needs us to be part of the kingdom, not part of this world.
Yes. Amen.
So let's just go back into this because I love this bridge. This room, this song, Make Room, is so much more than just making room in your life. It's talking about God making the room, about Him coming in and taking out the things that you don't need anymore, pulling out the weeds, the things that are just taking up space but aren't actually necessary in your life so that He can replace it with more. So that He can give you things that you never expected, so that you can become more than you ever expected, because He is, He is the potter. He knows what He's doing from the moment that you were even thought of. He knew exactly what He placed you on this earth to do. He knew exactly the time that He would rise you up. He knew exactly the tools. So let's just press in. Let's just ask for a shaking up of that ground today. Let's ask that He take out the things that we don't need so that He can give us what we do need. Let's ask that He reveal to us the mysteries of the kingdom so that we can go out and be even more in this world, so that we can press forward, so that we can be on fire, so that we can be overflowing, so that we can be every single thing that He's called us to be. He tells us that nothing is impossible with Him.
We are meant to move mountains.
Amen.
The Bible tells us it. It promises us
yes.
it. So if we have faith like a mustard seed, it tells us that this is what we should be doing.
Yep.
So we need to stop being okay with the bare minimum. We need to stop being okay with moving the dirt and the rocks. And let's shoot for the mountains. Let's start moving them.
Yes.
He's got a calling on you. He's got something he's wanting to do. But you gotta let go of the old stuff. You gotta start letting him take care of some things in your life, give you some revelation so that he can bring transformation into your life.
As we were singing some of these songs today, one of the songs that we said is that we are who he says we are. And we need to believe that. What I'm doing now is the women's ministry. But I do things within the Holy Spirit. And I can't believe what I'm doing. I'm saying words that he's giving me. I'm doing things that he's giving me. And we all can do that. It's not just me. I can't believe I'm even doing it. But he's doing it within me. And if you have a word because you have something that somebody needs to hear, he will give it to you. But you got to let go. You got to have to say, his love surrounds you. You got to remember that. If he loves surround you, he wants you to surround his love with everybody around you. He doesn't want it to just be for you. He wants you to give it away. Because if you don't give it away, you're going to get, the river's going to be stagnant. You need to let it flow. Flow from in you to go to them. And just, we are kingdom people. We're not people of the world. We are king, and he speaks through us. He actually speaks through us, and we don't even know when he's going to do it, as long as we give him the freedom to do it with. And it says, his way is better. It's always better. So I am a miracle standing here. Because if you know my history of who I am and how shy I was, you wouldn't believe it. Because now I don't stop talking. because he's given it to me. Not because I worked at it or I had somebody tell me that I need to do it. He's told me I am who he says he is. And he speaks through me.
Amen.
And he can speak through you.
Hello. I've been studying Proverbs this month, and it's just been amazing what we read things over and over, but we don't realize, you know, just the new little nuggets that come out. And what God has shown me is that I need to include him in all my decisions. And so often we make decisions just because we make them. You know, it's easy, but we need to be including him. Do we make a certain purchase? Do we talk to a certain person? Do we share the love of Christ with somebody? Because, you know, maybe we're fearful, but so often we don't. And I have discovered this month that he has encouraged me. And I got to tell you, this last week has been a week of discouragement, a week of disheartening things happening. But you know what? He's still on the throne. And sometimes when we pray and we ask for something, sometimes it's no, not yet. Sometimes it's no. But the thing is, he knows what we need. And I don't know about you, I want to be in his perfect will, not in his permissive will. And, you know, we can be in permissive will, but he has so much better for us. And we have to realize that his wisdom is greater than we can even imagine, and that we need to listen to him. And that small, still voice that tells you no, or tells you don't do this, or walk here, buy this, don't do that, they have meaning, because he wants the best for you. And so even when we go through discouraging times, it's okay, because he's still with you. He promises that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He promises us that through wisdom, we will have understanding, and that we will grow as Christians, and that we can share him to others. We can be that shining light that causes somebody to come and say, you're the only Bible I've ever read. And that's okay. And don't feel like you don't have the words or you can't share, you can't grow. You can each and every day until the day you die. But you've got to open your heart and you've got to allow Him to teach you, to show you, to lead you, to guide you, and to be that salt and light to whoever you come across, and to be willing to step out in faith for the things that He has for you, because He has blessings in abundance. And despite this week that I've had, He's with me and I love Him and He does guide me. And it's okay, because I can give Him all of that to Him, and He can bring healing and He can show me, you know, what I need to do in order for Him to work through me and to even just be with me. So, you know, if you want, take some time. This was a month that had 31 days, so I've been reading those Proverbs, and they've been an amazing blessing. And so if you don't mind, I just want to pray for everybody. And I just, in Jesus' name, Lord, we come before You humbly, and we ask, Father, for Your wisdom. We look to You for guidance. We look to You for showing us how to love others, that everything must be done in love. And that, Lord, we look to You to help us in each and everything that we do every day, and that we trust in Your guidance, we trust in Your word, but most importantly, Lord, our relationship with You is deeper and is one that just is brings You glory. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Here's a question for you. Are you good where you are today? Are you good? And as that song said, He's got a better way. Good's not good enough. There's a better way. He's got a better way. But the Lord wants to give you His best. He wants to give you His best. And it's up to us to reach out and get it. What came to my mind was watching Abe and Micaiah's little boy. And he just learned to walk. Now I see him running. But I see that little boy. He has no idea where he's going. But he slams doors open. He opens drawers. He's curious. He's wanting to know what's beyond that door. He's wanting to see what's been locked up in this drawer. That's the heart we have to get God's best. He has got so much better things that He wants to give to each one of us. But if we settle for good, we'll never get to see has been locked up, the treasures that He has for each one of you sitting here today, for me. So don't settle for good. Seek for His best. Amen.
How many believe God's way is better? How many believe that He knows what He's doing? Hallelujah. And His way is better. It's better. It's better. It's better. Hallelujah. Do you know His way is better than your way? Do you know that? My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord, neither. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, it is, God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Praise God. Well, I just heard the Lord say to my spirit, and I believe it's in Daniel chapter 7. The Word of God says this: and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom of God. Do you realize that God is calling for the body of Christ to possess the kingdom here on earth? On earth. As it is in heaven. How many know that? How many say amen to that? Come on, hey man, we're a bunch of weirdos, man. Is that right? We're going to possess the kingdom of God on the earth. We're going to see God do things that the world has never seen. Hallelujah. You think Egypt saw some stuff. Wait till you see what God's about to do in this time, this age, with his people. Amen? Amen. Praise God. The time came that the saints possessed the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Know you not that the kingdom of God is within you? Do you not know that? Hallelujah. Jesus said, hey, fear not, little flock, for it is my Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. Possess it. Amen? Hallelujah. Possess it. Hallelujah. Ooh, his way is better. 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 How many believe that? How many believe that his way is better? Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. I love this song, man. Hallelujah. We're going to do it at the end too. Is that okay? Can we do this one right after? Hallelujah. Let's give the worship team thank you. Hallelujah. If you feel like jumping, get up and jump a little bit. Because God, hallelujah, he's watching you. He said, hey, my people, get excited. Hallelujah. Do something. Show something. Hallelujah. Because if you can't do it in here, you're not going to do it out there. You won't do it out there. But God says, I'm calling my people to be different. Yeah, they might look a little weird. They might seem strange, but they will heal the sick. They will cast out demons in the name of Jesus. Do you know that? Hallelujah. Woo, God is good. Hallelujah. And it's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. Hallelujah. His timing is perfect. Hallelujah. Shanda harata sande. Woo, hallelujah. Walking into Walmart. Yeah, come on. Walking into the restaurant. Come on, hallelujah. Why? Why? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. So I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk in. Yes, indeed, I'm going to talk. Come on, hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. You think I'm weird? My son and my daddy said, Dad, calm down, please. Please, Dad, don't do that. Rosie and I are dancing out in front of a theater one night. They walked away like, I don't know those people. Whoa, hallelujah. We got to be different, folks. We got to shine. Hallelujah. We've got to shine. Hallelujah. 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 Is it just me? Is it just me? Ooh, I like the drums. Boom, 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 boom. Come on, man. Come on, man. Let me tell you something. I don't like being fake. Is that okay? How do you like being fake? I get excited about the things of God. It's just I do. He's been good to me. His promises have rolled into my life, one after the other, one after the other. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, he has been good because he is good. He is good. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Woo. Shandai. Man, I don't know. Hallelujah. Man, there's something going on this morning. How many say amen to that? Yeah, yeah. You might say, well, Henry, just you. Right? Well, just to you, dude. I'm not picking on you guys, my dude. No. I know you're our AC guy, aren't you? Come on, man. Folks, listen. The kingdom of God has the ability to shine. Shine. The scripture says in Isaiah 60, arise, shine. For the glory of the Lord is upon you. It's upon you. You. It's on you. Hallelujah. Let him shine through you. Hallelujah. So what if you look a little weird shining? Amen? So what? Who cares? Isn't that right, Hank? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares if you look a little weird shining? Who cares? God cares. He says, yeah, that's my kid. That's my son. That's my daughter. Hallelujah. And I will move heaven and earth that he might declare the glory of God in the earth. Hallelujah. Folks, we're called. We are called as witnesses of who he is. Amen? Hallelujah. Man, I got a message to preach. Can you believe that? I got a message today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think I probably better preach it. Amen. Ooh, one more time. Give these guys thanks. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Cindy. Thank you. Thank you, mijo. Thank you. Thank you, mijo. Mija. Jason. Hallelujah. Yeah. But you're not going anywhere, though, right? Doo-doo-boop-boop-boop. Hallelujah. Man, I feel the presence of God in the house today. How many say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, things are going to get stronger and stronger in this house. It's either going to pull people in or draw people or push people away because the kingdom of God is actively moving. Amen. It will make some folks very uncomfortable. Some of you got uncomfortable with me jumping around screaming this morning. Is that right? No? Praise God. Not y'all, huh? Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Hallelujah. You know, it seems like we've been saying it for ages. Isn't that right? Get ready. Get ready. It's coming. It's coming. Hallelujah. Folks, he's not going to remove the church until the glory of God is established and seen. The kingdom of God is set up and seen in the earth. Then, and maybe then, he'll move it. Is that right? Come on, man. People will come. They'll come to hear what he has to say. Not what some preacher has to say. That's why we exercise. That's why we are exercising. I believe we're exercising it well. I believe we're starting to roll with hey, man, stepping up here, grabbing a mic, saying, this is what God said to me. It's beginning. God is doing something with the body of Christ. And you're part of it. Don't ever forget that. Amen? Hallelujah. It might sound strange. It might sound crazy. It might be a little bit different than your tradition from your religion. Amen? But his way is better. It's always better. Hallelujah. When you pray, pray in the Spirit. Why? Because his way is better. It's better. Praise God. Lord, hallelujah. I'm not much of a series type preacher. What I do is I just listen for what God is saying to me. Try to listen during the week, but generally he usually talks to me generally right on the weekend, right before Sunday. Maybe because he knows, oh, Henry, you're getting a little older and you might forget what I'm telling you. I don't know. I don't think so. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I come against that word right there. Come on, man. Sorry, Lord. Hallelujah. I apologize. But when I know that he wants to repeat a word, I sense it and I know it. And all week long, I've been repeating that. Scripture that's been coming to me, like I said last week, was the one that I spoke to Brother Terry and to another brother that was here that morning, where it says, haven't I written unto excellent things in counsel and in wisdom, so that I might make you to know. How many of you know that God wants you to know things? How many say amen to that? He wants you to know things you've never known before. He wants you to know. Is that okay? Are you okay with that? Are you okay with him speaking to you something that you've never known before? And I will guarantee you, if he speaks it to you, you're going to find it in that book. You're going to find it in the Word of God. He'll show it to you. He'll explain it to you. He'll explain it, Lucy. Remember Lucy Harnett? Ricky was always having to explain it. But God will explain his word to you. He'll show it to you. He'll show it to you one place and another place. And this morning, the title of the sermon is Knowing It's Everything. That's the title of last week. Isn't that cool? But this is part two. And there might be part three. There might be part four. I don't know. I don't know what he wants to do. But I do know that he's trying to say something to us. I know that he's asking for us to he says, you know what, lean forward. Lean into this message this morning because he wants you to hear a word that he's saying to you. He's desiring to speak to your heart and not to your intellect. How many say amen to that? How many, I don't want... I've gotten over trying to be a smart guy. How many say amen to that? My wife still thinks I'm a smart aleck once in a while. But that's just in fun. I don't want to be anything to what God wants me to be. Amen? Hallelujah. And I know, right? I know that he has given me a call to be a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One that will strengthen and build up. And never tear down the body of Christ. Can I tell you, the body of Christ has been torn down by so many things that God would be saying, it's time. It's time that strength flows into the kingdom, flows into my people, so that nothing shall by any means hurt them. You know, we need to quit being so emotional. How many say amen to that? We need to quit thinking so much about all these things that might happen. How many say amen to that? We need to begin to focus in on what God's saying. God says, peace be still. And you know what? I would say, follow that. If you're having trouble, let God's word, where it says, peace be still. Let him calm you down. And then let him lead you and guide you. Is that okay? Praise God. So today I'm going to take you to Genesis chapter 25. We're going to start at verse 19. Genesis 25. And we're going to read all the way to Revelation. And every one of you get ready to read. No, I'm just kidding. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that we know that you are doing something that we've never seen before. We know it, God. We know it from within ourselves. I've heard so many brothers and sisters, Father, say something is happening and I know it, but I can't put my finger on it. Lord, it's because it's spiritual. It's because it's from you. So Lord, I ask you this morning that you would lead us and guide us by the words that we speak this morning. Lord, I know the message you gave me and I sense the power in it, Father, but God, I'm asking you just to anoint my lips to speak that which you've given me. That I might make it clear and that I might speak it the way I ought to speak it, God. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it, Lord. Let every ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I love this story. The title is Knowing It's Everything. Look at your neighbor saying, it's everything. It really is. Look at your other neighbor and say, it really is. It's everything. Knowing is everything. Everything. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Starting at verse 19. Genesis 25:19 says, these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. How do you like that scripture? I love that scripture. Isaac entreated who? The Lord for his wife. Amen? He said, God, give her a child. Hallelujah. How many know there's a double portion in this one? Yeah, okay. Well, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. I love that. She was having trouble with these kids in their womb. She didn't realize, she didn't know what was going on. She just said, man, all I know is there's a rumbling going on. Amen? These two guys were in there rumbling. Is that right? Fisticuffs. Heel to heel or whatever, man. These guys were causing some problems to her, kicking her rib and get out of my way. Yeah, yeah. And these two kids were in her womb. So she goes and asks the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in their womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from your bowel. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. And the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. After that came his brother out and took, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. Isaac was 60 years old when she had kids. I don't know, I'm just a little over 60. I don't think I'd be wanting to run after toddlers all day long, if you guys know what I mean. But these are promises, amen? These two were promises that God had given, not only to Isaac, but also to Abraham. In thee shall your seed be blessed, is what he told them. Hallelujah. So I'm going to switch over to Genesis 27. But these kids grew. Esau was a hunter. Jacob was kind of stayed in the tents, kind of helped mom, learned how to cook. Amen? And one day, Esau come in from hunting, and he was starving. I mean, starving. And he told his brother Jacob, hey, will you give me some of your lentil beans? Can I have some of them beans? And he says, yeah, if you'll give me your birthright. Esau, what good is that birthright if I die? Sure, let me give it to you. So he traded his birthright for a pot of beans. Sounds like a... How many like beans? I like beans. Beans. My son loves beans. His email address used to be, I don't know if it still is beans for all. Beans. So they're struggling and they make this trade, and I imagine that maybe even Jacob told his mom, you know what? Esau traded me his birthright. I wonder if she stayed quiet. I wonder if she just took note. But as Isaac got older, Rebecca heard Isaac tell Esau, hey, go out and go get a deer. And bring me some savory meat. Bring me a bowl of meat so that I might eat and that I might bless you. Because I want to bless you, Esau. So Esau says, oh, cool, man. So Esau heads out. Rebekah heard it. And Rebekah called Jacob, her son. She says, look, go get me a lamb out of the flock. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to make some food. I'm going to make some meat for your dad. And Jacob says, but mom, Esau's a hairy guy. And I don't have the hair like he does. So she comes up with this plan to put this sheepskin on his arms and on the back of his neck. And she cooks him some food. And Esau goes in to his dad. And he says, arise, dad, arise. And eat of your son's pottage. Isaac says, hey, the voice is Jacob's. So he calls him over. Come over here close. So Jacob comes over close, and he feels his arm. He goes, yeah, this is Esau. He's hairy. And he says, come in close, get in closer. And he leans in close and he smells him. Jacob's mom also put on him a coat that Esau would run, that would wear out when he was out in the fields hunting. So Isaac goes, you know, it smells like a field. It smells fresh like a field. So now Jacob is convinced, or Isaac is convinced that it is his son Jacob. I mean, Esau. So I'm going to take you to verse 26, and we'll start reading because I want you to listen to what's happening. And Isaac said, art thou my son, my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, his coat, and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, now here, Isaac begins to place the blessing of the firstborn on his son Jacob. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and let thy mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone that curses you, and blessed be he that blesses you. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. Doesn't it work that way? God does it. God does it really good. And he also made a savory meat and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless thee. poor Isaac. And Isaac, his father, said, who are you? Who art thou? He says, and said, I am your son, your firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that has taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. I like that scripture. You see, because they're back. Those folks believed in the blessing. How many believe in the blessing? How many of you believe that what you say over somebody, what you bless them with? Linda prayed over you this morning. How many receive that blessing? I like the way Isaac says it. I've already blessed him, and he will be blessed. Amen? There's that much confidence in what the words were that they were saying. How many say, you have to know. You got to know what you're saying. Amen? Hallelujah. I believe Isaac knew exactly what he said. And he said, and he's going to be blessed. And look at what he says. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceeding bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came in with subtlety and has taken away your blessing. And he said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? How many of your heart can kind of go out for Esau? I said, man, yeah, come on, man. Poor guy. Amen. But see, he counted the natural more than the spiritual, where Jacob counted the spiritual more than the natural. How many of you know God wants us to count the spiritual as important in our lives? How many of you know that? That God wants you to see things that are spiritual. He wants you to know things that are spiritual. And Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I've made him your Lord, and all his brothers have I given to him for servants, and with corn and with wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you not one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and he wept. And how many of you know, how many, being a father, how many of you want to see your kids cry? How many of you, God, Lord. And I believe that Isaac, the blessing came flowing out of him. It wasn't something he made up for his son. How many of you know that? Because I want you to hear the blessing that he placed on him. He says, and Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by your sword shall you live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass, and listen very carefully, and it shall come to pass when you shall have the dominion that you shall break his yoke from off thy neck. How many of you know that Esau left that place with a yoke on his neck? Do you know? That something came on him. And we're going to read in this next verse, and it says, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father had blessed him. See, this yoke was placed on him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. And then I will what? I will slay my brother, making plans to kill him. The Bible says that later on that one of the servants heard Esau saying that he was going to kill Jacob. So he went and told Rebekah, and Rebekah sent him away to Laban to save his life. Hallelujah. He spent a number of years with Laban, and when he was coming back, Jacob was worried about his brother. He said, man, he's going to kill me. He wants to kill me. But in all that time, God had worked with Esau. And when they met, they kissed. Amen? And at that moment, I believe that that yoke was broken off of Esau's life. It's a beautiful story. Beautiful story. Hallelujah. And then Jacob goes on to have all these kids, 12 male guys, twelve boys. They became the children of Israel, the 12 tribes. Amen. Hallelujah. But I want to go back to Rebekah, because I was reading in one of the translation, and it said when she began to work with her son Jacob, so that he could get the blessing. In the scriptures that I was reading, it says right at the top, the deception. And I looked at that. I said, man, well, that's not right. Spiritual things. You see, Rebecca, when she asked the Lord what was happening within her, the Lord gave her a word. Amen. And that word was the older shall serve the younger. The Lord told her what was going to happen. The Lord, she knew what the Lord had said to her. So she was not driven by a desire to see her younger son over the top, over her older son. She wasn't driven by that desire to deceive Isaac. She was driven by what the Holy Spirit, what God's Spirit had said to her about her son, the younger son. Can you say amen to that? Do you know that she was driven by what she knew what God had said? Can I tell you, it's very important that we are driven by what God tells us. Amen? Sometimes when God says something to you, people around you aren't going to get what you said, what he told you. They're not going to understand. But as long as you do what God tells you to do, can I tell you something? That's what's the important part. You do what God tells you to do. Amen? Don't do anything else. If I or Pastor John or Rosie tells you, you know what? I want you here let's go with Friday. I want you here every Friday, and I want every window cleaned, and you're going to do it. You know what? I'm going to tell you, don't listen. Say, yeah. Because that's Rosie, or that's John, or that stuff. Can I tell you, we have to do what the Lord tells us to do. That's how the body of Christ functions. Can I tell you that this morning? The body of Christ functions by every part doing what God tells it to do. Is that right? Because the Bible says that he's the head. He's the head. So you do what God tells you to do. And if it's in a body, guess what? It's going to fit right in. It's going to step right in. And I believe the joy of the Lord will overwhelm me. See, we've gone too long with people saying, well, I want to do this. And then it goes good for a while. And then when it starts to fail or come apart, can you get somebody else to do that for me? Yeah, well, didn't God tell you to do that? Why don't you keep up? No. We've had that running and run. You know what? We've learned that. In our religious circles, can I say that to you? We've learned that in our traditions. There's got to be somebody to open the doors. There's got to be somebody. Hey, is God calling you? If I come up to you and say, hey, man, you got a smile bigger than anybody's smile. How many? Let me see your smiles. Yeah, nobody's smiling. Yeah. You got a big smile. You know what? You need to be at the front door so that people can see that big smile as they're coming in. Can you want to be? Hey, you know what? You say, Pastor, I will pray about it. I will ask God if that's what he wants me to do. That's what I expect you to do. Isn't that cool? Because I want what God wants. Some folks say, well, that's not a very good leader. Well, I know that the Holy Ghost is a good leader. The Bible says that we are to walk in the Spirit or follow after the Spirit of God. Let him lead you. Can I say that to you this morning? Let him lead. Hallelujah. So she was doing something that she knew from within was what she had to do, because I believe that Rebecca valued that blessing. She knows that blessing needs to go on the younger son, because God said that to me. Therefore, I'm going to help. I'm going to help. Hallelujah. And she did. Did it work? Oh, you bet it did. It did. Hallelujah. I want you to look at Romans chapter 12. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Rebecca had a revelation. How many like revelation? How many like God to show you stuff? Can I tell you something? Today is the day of revelation. Today is a day where God is wanting to speak to you and show you things. So align yourself. Put yourself in a place where God can say, hey, man, I'm going to reveal this to you. Let me reveal something to you about who you are. Is that okay? If you allow him to do that, come on, I'll tell you something. He's going to build you, strengthen you from the inside. Hallelujah. Some people will go and say, well, I'm going to go get all these books. I'm going to train. I'm going to learn this. You know what? This week or for the next 3 months, I think I'll do the book of Jude, whatever. Is that what God wants you to do, or is that just you? Can I tell you, we try to promote ourselves quite often. How many say amen to that? Not many. We do. We try to promote ourselves by knowing, by doing. But God says, hey, just listen to me. Listen to my spirit. Here's what the word of God says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know what a living sacrifice looks like? It looks like you. You are a living sacrifice. What was a sacrifice? The sacrifice was when they would take a lamb and they would kill the lamb. They would, what do you call it, skin the lamb, take off certain parts, and then they would burn it. Trouble is with us as a living sacrifice, we keep getting off the altar. I mean, you know what I mean? We keep calling off. Oh, wait a minute. I think I want to do this instead of that. I don't want to lay down my life. Can I tell you, God, getting to know God more and more is an act of laying down your life. What do you want? What does God want? Which is more important? The same thing with Esau and Jacob. Which is more important? Jacob found that which was what God wanted was more important. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. And then it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Is that right? Renew your mind that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me just tell you something. God is after you. He wants you to know his good will for you, and he'll show it to you. But all of it, and he's going to show you the acceptable will that he has for you, and then he's going to begin to show you that perfect will. He's trying to get you to the perfect will. Jesus walked with a mindset of the perfect will, what God had for him, I'm going to do it. And let me say amen to that. How would you like to walk knowing that next year you would be dying on a cross? How would you like that for a thought? Man, can you imagine what Jesus did for us? It's so crazy. And we have a hard time. Well, God says, hey, don't eat today. I'm going to tell you something. Well, God, you know, hey, I got Pastor John. He wants me to go to breakfast with him. And then after that, I got Brother Terry. He wants me to go to lunch with him. And then after that, I got Rosie who wants me to make her dinner. And you want me to not eat? No, man. We have to lay our, there's a time where we lay our lives down. Is that all right? But I want you to look at this. He says that, I took it. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you'll allow me to say this to you, the Holy Spirit is trying to get you out of the old man into the new man and keep you there. The Holy Spirit is moving you from that which was old behind you and getting you into what's new so he can take you forward. Do you know that? Do you understand that? Because he wants you to grow in the knowledge of his son. And you can't do that by holding on to the things that you had, the old stuff. The Word of God says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, says, old things pass away and all things become new. Is that what it says? All things become new. Everything is new. Old things, I don't care what it is, whatever you operated before you gave your heart to the Lord, all of that is to be washed away. Do you understand that? And everything is supposed to be new, brand new to you. Hallelujah. So even your thinking, the way you think, how many of you think different than other folks? Probably all of us. Amen? Woo. Even the way you used to think, God wants to transform that. I'm going to say something to you, and I need you to just think about what I'm telling you. God never wanted you to operate out of your intellect. Do you know that? He never designed man to operate out of his intellect. Oh, man, we can do a lot of stuff with our intellect. Is that right? We can make things, build things in strength. But, you know, anything that we can do in our intellect, God can do better. God can do better. Is that right? Anything. I don't care what it is. He can do anything better. I want you to look at this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Chapter 2, I think it is. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 25. How many love this? How many love looking back? I love going to this because this is actually the example of a man of God on the earth before he sinned. This is the first Adam. This is Adam. And how God designed him and how he operated is very important for us to know. Can we say amen to that? It is what God designed and how he designed it, what's important to us so that we can look at it. So here it is. It says, the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely. You can eat from any tree. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. You see that? How many say amen? That's God's word to Adam. Adam didn't have 10 commandments. All he had was one. Amen? All he had was one. Don't eat of that tree. See that tree over there? What was the name of that tree? It was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Not just evil. We think, well, it was all evil. No, it was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Can I say to you right here, God is saying to the man, I don't want you to operate in a natural knowledge. That tree is not for you. How many say amen to that? How many see that? That God say, hey man, hey, don't eat from that tree. Because I will lead you and guide you, and I will take you wherever you need to go. My way is better. My way is better. Everybody say that. My way is better. My way is better. My way is better. My way is better. And he says this, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. How many say amen to that? How many are glad about that? I'm glad. It's not good that you should be alone. He says, I will make him a helpmeet for him. God is saying, man, I'm going to make someone for you. And then he says, and out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. Wait, stop. What happened? He was supposed to make somebody for Adam. But all of a sudden, he's making animals. What the heck? What's going on? Come on, God. God, you're confused. You said one thing, and then you start doing something else. What's up with that? Amen? He says, He made them beasts of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. I love this because there's certain ways you can look at this scripture. He brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. You could look at it this way, that he brought them to Adam. Here's a pooch. Or here's a giraffe. And it's like God's going to, okay, I'm going to see what he's going to call them. But see, God is a God of revelation. You see, God wants to reveal things. So what? It's not that he stepped back to see what he would call him. He brought him to Adam so that Adam could see what God was saying. This is what this is. Do you understand that I confuse you? It's not that he came to say, hey, I want to see what he's going to call him. What are you going to call him, Adam? What are you going to call him? No, it wasn't like that. God is a revealer. He reveals things, and he says, hey, he brings him to Adam, and he steps back, and he says, Adam, that is a giraffe. Yeah, that's a giraffe. And he brings another one to him. Well, that's a monkey. He brings another one to him. That's a horse. God was training Adam to listen for revelation. How many say amen to that? Folks, that's the same thing he's trying to do with us. He doesn't want us walking. He didn't bring him to Adam to say, well, I'm going to see what he wants to call him. Because he's got, you know, he didn't have the tree of knowledge of good and evil at that time. All he had was the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God says, look, this is what that is. This is what that is. This is what that is. How many say amen to that? So don't you love it? It's a reality that God says, I want to reveal to you these things. And he tells them that. So he brings them to see what Adam called every living creature. That was the name thereof. Can I tell you, he brought them all the animals, and he also brought them birds. He brought everything. It says, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam gave names to the cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. And then it says, but for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. But God said, hey, I'm going to make him one. Amen. So we all know the story. God put him to sleep. Took a rib. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. Now, if you don't think that Adam was being led by the Holy Spirit, led by God to speak the things that he spoke, I want you to look very closely at what he says here. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. One of the things for sure is how many of you remember what any doctor have done for you while you're asleep? Does anybody remember? Or do you remember, when you set my arm, I remember you moving the muscles around and putting the bone in, throwing, drilling. I remember all that. Now you don't remember any of that. Amen. Here's Adam saying, you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. It's very important that we look at the words that he's saying. And then he says this, she shall be called a woman because she was taken out of the man. How did he know that? Because God was speaking through him. God was revealing these things to him. And then he says this, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. I want you to look. He said, therefore, he shall leave his mother and father. How many of you know that Adam had no mother and father? So where did he get those words from? Revelation. It was revealed to him that this is what was going to happen. You see? Do you see how revelation works? Do you see how the choice that he made later on to go ahead and eat from that tree destroyed this walk that he had with the Spirit of God? Do you understand that? Because he decided that what he could see in the natural was more important than the spiritual. Isn't that crazy? Why would you even think that, Adam? Why would you think that? Praise God. Hallelujah. God never intended man to live by his own reasonings. Never did. You can see it in the garden. God said that the minute you eat of that, you're going to die. He never intended us to live by our own reasonings. Thing about it now is that God, Jesus, has come and died and redeemed not only us, but the whole world is redeemed. How many believe that? How many believe that the world has been redeemed? It's right now sitting in redemption. It's a done deal. Jesus isn't going to die again. But you know what? We don't see it redeemed, do we? Can I tell you why? I will tell you why. Whether you want to hear it or not. Because people don't believe it. The redemption of the world has already happened. Jesus paid for it on the cross. He redeemed not only man, but the whole thing that went down the tube when Adam sinned. He redeemed it all. But he needs men and women of God to speak that redemption into the earth. He's always need men and women of God to speak whatever it is in the earth about what he's doing. How many of you know that? God won't do anything unless he first reveals it to a prophet. And the prophet will say it, and then God will do it. Is that right? Because God is very judicial in the way he operates. The way he works is very, very, he operates like a judge. I'll do it if someone will say it. It's cool, man. That's God. Hallelujah. God created us with three parts. Amen? How many know that? Now, we all know spirit, soul, and body. Is that right? He created us before with Adam, it was spirit, soul, and body. The Bible says that Adam and Eve, after God brought Eve to Adam, the Word of God says that they were naked. Is that right? And they were not ashamed. Is that right? Is that what? But then they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then what happened? Now all of a sudden they realized they were naked and they were ashamed. And they sowed fig trees on themselves. Can you see what the difference is between the spiritual and the natural? How the natural brings shame. And the spiritual, when you're walking in the spirit, you don't have anything to shame. Oh, God, it's good. Hallelujah. But check this out. So he's given us spirit, soul, and body. That's the way God intended for us to live. The body has functions, and it inputs into the soul. The soul has the mind, the will, and the emotion. You remember this. The soul has mind, will, and emotion. Is that right? Is that okay? It's got other stuff, but for the most part, you're going to find that it has mind, the will, and the emotions. the mind you're thinking, the will doing what you want to do or what you want God to do in your life, and your emotions. Some folks are a little more emotional than others. Amen? Where's Steve? Where's Rosie? If I get Rosie up here to talk, she starts crying. How many of you notice that Rosie cries every time she gets up? She's just like these guys, man. It's something coming from the heart. That's cool, man. But the spirit has functions. They're very difficult to try to segregate, but you can segregate. You can see how they're working. The spirit has communion, conscience, and intuition. Communion, conscience, and intuition. It is the spirit that we commune with God. We have a communion back there, and that's to remind us of what the Lord Jesus did for us. Amen? Do this in memory of me is what Jesus said. But the communion God has given us is actually the communion of prayer, communing with Him by prayer, by speaking. And He's also given us the Holy Ghost, which is even better because He begins to pray according to the knowledge of God. And that's what the Word of God says. We have conscience. Being a Christian, I know there's a difference in your conscience when I wasn't a Christian and I would do things and it wouldn't bother me. How many say amen to that? I do it and I go, so what? But then when I got saved, I do something wrong and immediately my conscience would grab me. Something about my conscience, it's the Spirit of God speaking to my spirit, and it would immediately say, hey, don't do that. You're a child, you're my kid. Don't go there. You're my kid. Hallelujah. Don't drink that. You're my kid. I don't drink. Amen? I drink water. I drink juice. But I don't drink any alcohol. And that's just me. If you do, hey, that's between you and God. I mean, I'm not trying to tell anybody, hey man, you don't drink. Just if you're a Christian, you cannot even taste alcohol. Who says that? That's not my job to tell you that. Amen? If you're drinking too much, let the Holy Spirit, listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying to you. Don't go after me. Don't expect me to tell you that. But you have a conscience, and that conscience is very valuable to you. The communion that you pray, the conscience when He speaks to you, hey, this or that. You know, your conscience will even encourage you. Do you know that? He'll even bring an encouragement to you. The Holy Spirit will then give you an encouragement through your conscience. That's cool. You remember the men that were trying to stone the lady that was taken in the act of adultery? That after Jesus said, whoever has no sin, cast the first stone. And they said, they began to leave, starting from the oldest to the youngest. Their conscience speaking to them. They began to think, oh man, I've done something. I better get out of here. Drop the rock and head out. Amen? Conscience, very valuable to us. Sometimes they're hard to distinguish which one's working. But the other thing is intuition. How many know what intuition is? It's just knowing. I just know. Women generally have a stronger intuition than men. How many say amen to that? Yeah, I've noticed the women. Thank you, sister. Yeah. Oh, for a minute, praise God. The women generally do have a strong. My mom used to interrupt our very, very important games of kickball when I was a kid. Henry, Frankie, my brother, get in here. What? Go over there, man, because she's yelling at us. She goes, take this plate. She'd give us a plate of food and a pan. Take it down to the house down there on the corner. Well, who lives there? Just take it. Okay. Me and my brother go down there. Knock at the door, a lady would answer. Oh, she start crying. Who are you guys? Hey, my mom, she lives up there, and here's some food, and we want to go play. We'll see you. My mom would do it a bunch of times. She had a way of doing things. See, this is what they call intuition. She knew God would speak to her, and she knew. Folks, I know this. God wants you to begin to operate in this intuition. When he speaks to you, you go do it. Is that okay? This intuition is a knowing. It's something that knows within you. Knowing is everything. Look at your neighbor and say, knowing is everything. Everything. Knowing is everything. My Rosie and I were driving to Bisbee one day, and we drove. I had this big old Pontiac Gas Hog, big old station wagon, man, going down the road, man. And I remember we're heading towards Sierra Vista, and I'm just cruising. I'm just driving. Rosie's asleep. And I don't remember thinking about anything except that I'm just driving. And next thing I know, I see this Ford, this red Ford station wagon with a bunch of junk loaded on it. Man, it looked like somebody's junk truck, but it was a station wagon. And it comes pulling out right in front of me. Man, I slammed on the brakes and I put my hand out to catch my wife. How do you guys do that? Got to protect the girl. Got to protect my babe. Is that right? Put my hand out to stop her and looked up and there's nothing there. Oh boy, Rosie come alive. What are you doing? Are you falling asleep? I'm going, no, man, I saw a car pull out in front of me, man. And she goes, what are you? And just then, it happened. But by that time, I had slowed down enough. I still had to kind of, whoa. But he pulled out right in front of me. You see, God showed me something. I knew. I didn't get how it was happening, but I knew. I saw God by intuition showed me something, and I knew. I told Rosie, that's the car right there. It was one of those weird things that happens. You know what I'm saying? God wants you to operate by intuition, by what he tells you. Is that okay? God can influence every aspect of your life if you allow him to. Do you believe that? How many believe that? He wants to influence everything. I've told this before. I'm going to tell you again because it's what I know. See, your testimony is what you know. And I'm giving you some of my testimony, but it's what I know. And here I was at the mine, and I'm working. I was planning jobs. And all of a sudden, in the middle of things, I'd start thinking about a certain part that, you know, that we use. I think about it, and then I'd forget about it. I just keep on doing what I was doing. Later on, some of the guys on the floor would come up and say, hey, Henry, we're out of this part here. And I realized, hey, I thought about that part earlier. How many of you have ever done that? Just one of those things. Yeah, I did that. I thought about that. Can I tell you that it's something within you? It's a knowing. It's what God does for you. So I thought about that. So then it happened again. I thought about that. It takes a while for me. I don't know about you guys. You guys are probably a lot smarter than me. But it took a while for me. I said, you know what? I think the Holy Spirit is telling me something. So now, when I think about a part, I'd write it down. I'd had a list. I had a good little list that when I'd get up off my chair, I'd go right before everybody was leaving. I'd go out to the warehouse, and I'd go in, and at almost 100% of the time, everything on that list needed to be replenished, or the warehouse needed to order some more. Guys would go in there at different hours of the night and just take parts without buying them out, and you guys know anything about that? That happens all the time. It's just human people. We're all human. They just take it. I don't want to buy it. I'll take it. And you know, I need it. It'll reorder. Well, I began to listen to that, and all of a sudden, I began to see that God was influencing my job. How many want him to influence your job? How many want him to tell you those things? See, and it's important because knowing him is everything to you, and he's got more for you to know than you can even think about. He knows more about what you're doing than you do. Is that okay? I love that. Those mills up there have these great big bearings on, you see them? Big old bearings, man. They're about that big around. They got a shaft going through them about that big. Can everybody see that? Yeah, no, it's whatever. Big bearings. And they go into what they call a pillow block. And it's just one bearing on each side of this pinion shaft that's turning this big old gear that's turning these huge mills, okay? I hope you're understanding what I'm telling you. A lot of these ladies are going, what? But anyway, these bearings are about $5,000 to $6,000 a piece. They're high dollar. And you're supposed to order them in pairs. That way, when we do a job and we place them on the shaft, you put them both in. I had one of those things where the Lord said, you need to order a bearing. You need a bearing. I said, a bearing? A mill bearing. A mill bearing. Okay. So I went ahead and ordered it. Didn't tell my boss. I ordered it. I ordered just one. When it came in, when the part gets to the warehouse, that's when the bill goes out, when they pay for it. It came in. He comes to my desk and, what are you doing? We don't order those by themselves. We order two at a time. Besides that, why are you doing that? God told me to. What? He goes, man. He goes, Henry, that's not how we operate here. Okay. I didn't say anything else because I know it sounded weird. That's how I operate. I didn't want to tell him that. Sure enough, it was a couple of months later that the guys had put brand new bearings on a shaft, and they were getting ready to put the covers on them so they could take it up to the mill. And one of the guys goes, "Hey man, this bearing's cracked." So hey, he came down and looked at it, and all the they called me. I said, "Hey, I got it. It's in the warehouse. It's over there. Just one by itself. Go get it and put it on." My boss came to me and says, "I don't believe it." I said, "You better believe it, bro. You see, this job that God has given me, if I will allow him to, he'll help me." And the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous, you and me, we run into it and we're safe. Your job is safe. Everything about you is safe. Your kids are safe. Amen? Hallelujah. And see, God wants to light you up. Is that right? How many know that? God wants to talk. He wants to show you things that you've never seen before. Check out this word. I want to just look at Psalm 18:28. Write this scripture down, if you will. It says, "Thou will light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Do you see that? I've told folks, people look at me and say, "Well, the Bible says that God is light." Yeah, he is light. God is light. But do you know that he dwells in the darkness? Do you know that? People, well, if he's light, he can't dwell in the darkness. Light dispels the darkness. But the darkness that he's talking about is what it says here, my darkness, your darkness. He will light my candle. The Lord God will enlighten my dark. See, that's revelation. God wants to show you things you've never seen before. And he wants to give it to you in a way where you understand it, that you can operate on this planet without having to use your intellect. There's a lot of people out there very proud about how smart they are. Amen? Oh, yeah, I'm smart. Yeah, but God's way is better. That's all we're saying. Yeah, use your brain. But God's way is better. It's always been better. He formed it. Will he not make it good? If he made you to operate that way, will he not help you to operate that way? He will. It will come and little by little, he will enlighten you like a little candlelight that comes on. He's going to show you things. He's going to open these things up to you. Because folks, this is what the body of Christ in the earth today, the kingdom of God, is operating going to be operating in revelation. It will amaze the world. They will say, "How do you do this?" My boss goes, I don't understand it, but I get it. All right, Henry. It was cool. I walked away and said, God, I'm so smart. God says, no, I didn't say that. I said, Lord, thank you. I said, Lord, thank you for helping me. Thank you for leading me and guiding me. Isn't that crazy that God would do those kind of things for you if you let him? See, we just think that we got to leave God and over here. God, just sit here on my desk and now let me do this over here. Well, God says, no, man, let me help you. Let me show you. Let me teach you. Hallelujah. His way is better. It really is. Proverbs 20, verse 27 says this, the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of what? Of the belly. I love that. Because in my heart, I say, Lord, search my heart, Lord. If there's anything that displeases you, show it to me so we can do something about it. Amen? How many want to serve God with a pure and perfect heart? How many want a pure heart? How many are after a pure heart? Can I tell you that the pure in heart will see God? So if you want to see God, you know what? God, search my heart. Let me see what I've never seen. Let me understand why things are that way. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 29:29. Let's just check out this scripture. Just check out this. Look at this scripture. It says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. See, God's got secrets. Amen? He says, but those things which are revealed belong to who? To you. When he reveals them, they belong to you. Don't let them go. To us and to our children forever. And then there's this piece at the end, that we may do all the words of this law. You see that piece? That we may do all the words of this law. I used to think when I'd read this scripture before, I said, yeah, well, I'll just forget about that. I don't need that. That's how I am. That we may do all those words of this law. I used to just kind of think that because, you know, we're not in the law. Is that right? We're in the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Is that right? You know, the word of God says that no man could keep the law. Is that right? How many of you know that? No man could keep the law. But here, if you look at this, go to this scripture, Deuteronomy 29, and read what's going on. God's a little angry. This scripture pops out of nowhere. I mean, I still can't, when I'm looking at it and I'm reading it, I go, why did you put this in here? Why that? All of a sudden, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to, it just comes out of nowhere. And boom, it's right there. That they might keep the words of the law. You see, if folks would have listened, if they would have heard what God was saying, hey, if you will let me show you, if you will let me reveal things to you, you're going to fulfill the law because you'll be led not by your own intellect, but you will be led by my spirit. God's always wanted to lead his people by his spirit. This scripture, to me, speaks loud and clear that God's saying, I've always wanted man to live according to what I'm thinking. How many of you are ready for that? His way is better. It really is better. Hallelujah. John 3:11 says this, we speak that we do know. Testify of what we've seen. It's time that you begin to speak the things that you know. Searching the intellect never delivers men. How many know that? Searching your intellect, you can't deliver anybody because it's not you that does it. Revelation in the Spirit alone gives true knowledge of God. Revelation. Brings true knowledge of God. The church needs to be hungry for revelation. The church needs to say, God, show me. Show me. That needs to be coming out of your mouth as you're in your prayer closet. God, show me. Let me see things I've never seen. Lord, show me things that you have for me. Show me things that you have for my children. Show me things that you have for my city, for my state, for my country. For the world. Show me, God. Show me things. Show me things. When you come to God with a heart that's saying, God, I want revelation from you. I want to know from you. I want to know. I believe that pleases God. I believe he says, yeah, get ready, man, because I'm going to start showing you. You will have dreams. You'll have visions. the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Hallelujah. And you'll do greater things than you've ever done before. Because it's been promised. Jesus said this. You will do greater things than these because of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. What I want to do now is I want to just get everybody to stand. And I'm going to ask Pastor John to come up here. Because I believe in speaking what we know. Speaking what we know. There's some things that we know. For instance, I know that God has healed every one of you from the top of your head to the bottom of your foot. I know that. I know it. Your body might say something different. Well, Brother Henry, Pastor Henry, you don't know what's going on in my big foot right now. You don't know what's happening to me right now. I don't need to know. How many say amen to that? All I know is that by his stripes, you've already been healed. That's all I know. And I will say that over you. In Jesus' name, by his stripes, you're healed. Every one of you. Every one of you. None excluded. God doesn't exclude his kids. None excluded. You are healed. I know that. I know it. Hallelujah. Pastor John. Hallelujah. Speaking.
I think one of the things that the Lord, that I know, and he wants you to know, is of his great love. The great love that he has for you. And we tend to use that word so nonchalant, you know. I love this, I love that. And the power that comes with that word, God is love. And so when you look at this word, when you look at that love, you're surrounding yourself with the love of God. So he wants you to know how much he loves you. It's not a cliche. It's not something just to say, because that's what we hear. Jesus loves you. Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
And he's got way better things for you. And so right now, one of the things that I would like to look at is that there's things that each one of us is going through or senses. And one of the things that has come up is that there's still a fear. A fear of the natural things that are happening in this world. And I just want you to know that God wants to remove that fear. We should have no fear of anything that's going on around us. And so I just speak that in the name of Jesus, fear does not have any part of you. And I want to bless you. I want to bless you with a boldness. I want to bless you with a confidence.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I want to bless you with that, Pastor Henry says, that joy and the strength that comes of knowing who your Father is.
Yes.
And that whatever it is that would bring fear into your life is not a part of you. He has already taken that battle. He's doing it for you.
Hallelujah.
And so in the name of Jesus, I bless you.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless you with that confidence.
Yes, Lord.
With that knowledge that a love so great that if you really take it to heart and you let that heart of yours, let him in. There is nothing, nothing, nothing that can ever take your eyes off of that love.
Hallelujah.
So I speak that to you in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. I will say to you that you are above and not beneath. I know that. That's what the Word of God says. I will say to you that you are more than a conqueror, because that's what God's Word says about you. I will say it to you that you are the head and not the tail. You are above and you're not beneath. I will say to you that you will be blessed in the city. You will be blessed in the field. Wherever you go, the blessing of God is upon you. I will say that to you. That's God's word. That I know. I know that. I will say to you that every provision that you can't see is already there. I will say that to you, that your provisions are already there. I will say to you that you are a kingdom of priests before the Lord, ordained to offer up the sacrifices of praise to the King. I will say that to you. That's who you are. You're ordained by God to offer up praise for the King. Go ahead, John.
A little bit ago, we heard a testimony of a relationship of a parent and a child. And that's what God wants to do now. He's going to bring your children back to you.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
That inheritance that he said that belonged to your children because of you. This is your blessing. Claim it. God is not one to break his promises.
Yes, Lord.
And he promised you.
Thank you, Lord.
That if you obeyed and you walk with him, that not only you, but your children would be blessed. They would inherit what you have. And so stand on that. Not just because maybe it doesn't look like it's happening right this minute. Maybe it took 4 years. But it's going to happen.
Thank you, Lord.
Families will be restored. And we bless what God is doing today. Don't just sit back and hope that it happens. Yeah. Expect it to happen.
Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. You speak what you know. What do you know? What is it that you know? Hallelujah. It's important that you speak the things that God has showed you. I know that no weapon formed against you will ever prosper. I know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. I know. That he has given good gifts to his children. I know that you are a mighty nation that the world has not even recognized, but that's who you are. You are stronger than you've ever been before. You are the people of God on the earth. That's who you are. There's none like you. There will never be anyone like you again. You are the people of God. I will say that to you. Your inheritance is intact. Just like Pastor John was saying just a minute, all your children, it's not that you're expecting it, it's that it's already done. That he has taken that part that you know, that you're asking for, and it's already done. It's a done deal. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it didn't happen. We walk by faith and not by sight. You are a people that walk by faith. That's who you are. The greatest nation in the world, the greatest nation in the world is about to be seen. It's the people of God. Walking not after what they think, but what the Holy Spirit is saying to them. That's what you walk after. So we're going to pray. If you would bow your heads, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord. We speak it over your people. We speak what we know, God. Lord, we testify what we've seen. And God, we know that these things are so. Your word says, Father, amen and amen. So be it according to your faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the healings. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you, Father, for the loved ones that are coming back. Thank you, Father God, for the strength in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray this morning, and I give God all the praise and the glory and honor. If you agree, say amen. Let's sing this song.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.